fighting for America.
Today, Veterans Day, as we do every year, we take that moment to embrace the gentle heroes of all our wars. We remember those who were called upon to give all a person can give, and we remember those who were prepared to make that sacrifice if it were demanded of them in the line of duty.
Fighting for Idaho.
Only through our perseverance and never forgetting will we get through these difficult times ahead. Only through our humility and never forgetting will we make them who have served feel our gratitude. Only through our unity and never forgetting will we honor the fallen.
Fighting for you.
Most of all, we remember the devotion and gallantry with which all of them ennobled their nation as they became champions of a noble cause.
Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
For all those who've been downrange, to us and those like us, damn few.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
KIDO. We are joined by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. It's interesting to me that so many people have come up to me and reacted to your appearance on the program. And it's, you know, I mention you a lot because you're always contributing. You're always on the Facebook talking about this program. And people say, well, how much is he paying for that? And how much are you paying to be on this program?
Oh, lots and lots.
Be serious.
Not a penny.
And the reason why you're not paying anything is because you contribute and you see a value in this program.
Well, there are a few forms that really give people the opportunity to express their views on a fair and balanced manner. This program's one of them.
And you realize that, and we recognize your contributions. And, you know, it's not like there's a great big curtain here. Everybody always thinks, well, what's going on? And I'm thinking to myself, because people ask you about this too. Hey, what are you paying to be on with Miller? And I'm thinking to myself, why can't we just appreciate people for what they bring to the table?
You know, one of the big problems in our country is that we tend to curse at each other with labels. And what this program provides is actually an in-depth discussion on the issues. And that's what attracted me to this particular program and to you particularly. I think there's no reason to guess why it was that you won the Marconi Award. This is basically what you live and breathe, is a fair and balanced approach and being able to discuss the ideas. And I think everybody appreciates that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this tragedy that we heard about Thursday night. We talked about it on Friday. These two National Guard aviators killed in the line of duty, training just outside of Gowan Field, the community, the nation reacting. Your thoughts initially on this?
Well, the official word from the military is that this matter is under investigation, but 283 people have lost their lives with this particular machine, and the story comes back time and time again, essentially pilot error, with no real in-depth discussion concerning this particular piece of machinery.
Now, let's be clarify. You're not saying pilot error. This is what the government says.
This is what the government's right. been saying. And the government itself has gone to great lengths to exculpate itself or to exonerate itself from any responsibility to families that have lost family members in piloting or occupying this particular aircraft. There's been a longstanding doctrine called the Ferris Doctrine that protects the government from or insulates the government from any responsibility for design defects or negligent maintenance with this type of equipment that leaves these families without a legal remedy to be able to go after the responsible parties. And I've always been raised with the concept that we should be held responsible and accountable for the things that we say and the things that we do, but not the government.
Is it too soon to take a look at this? We already have heard that the NTSB will not be investigating. I guess this will be a military investigation. We always, of course, want to be sensitive to the families locally that have lost these two brave men. Is it too soon to take a look at the cause and to say, could it have been lack of training? I was surprised how many people contacted me in this program, Alan, saying, well, it's lack of training. They cut the this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, whoa, let's honor these two men first.
Well, I agree with that. Honoring these men is foremost what we should be doing. But the concern that we have when you look at the literature dealing with this piece of machinery and the problem with spare parts is glaring. Even going back to the conflict in the Middle East and in Afghanistan, soldiers have been complaining about the lack of available parts to properly maintain this aircraft. These planes just don't fall out of the sky. Even in training programs, there's usually some part that fails. And what they refer to in the law as concomitant cause. There's multiple reasons for a plane like this or a helicopter to crash. But inevitably what happens with the military is it usually boils down to pilot error. And little is discussed with regard to the fault of the aircraft itself.
Is that a one-size-check-all thing?
Well, you're looking at billions of dollars that are being invested by companies and government contracts, and the military is protecting their turf and ability to be able to secure this type of equipment. There's no holds bar in the fight between the branches of government and trying to get money for equipment. And we saw this with the Osprey. We've seen this time and time again with the Apache. But in the wake of all of this, going back to honoring our families and servicemen, it does great disservice to these people who serve our country, who protect our freedoms, and then throw them out to pasture, if you will, and their families by giving them little or no support. You know, I was looking at this through the weekend as to what compensation is available to families. I mean, we've got two families here that are suffering and going to suffer. And I was somewhat disturbed about the fact of what little is provided to these families once they lose a serviceman serving us and protecting our freedoms. They're entitled to a burial benefit. At a grave at no cost to the family if they're buried in a VA-approved cemetery. They're entitled to a monthly stipend of a low amount of only basically less than $1,200 a month for a surviving spouse and $254 per dependent child. They may qualify for some life insurance, but not at a very high level. This is basically what they're entitled to, and that's it. They have no legal right to be able to sue the government. They have no legal right to be able to sue the manufacturer. They have no legal right to sue the military in itself, as you would, say, in private, in a private case.
Indeed. Alan L. Morton with us, and we will talk about the benefits that these families have or have not. And we'll ask whether or not, you know, the idea of litigation. But before that, we go to Ron Paul Jim at 580KIDO with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and Kevin Miller. Hello, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to comment on that accountability of government. It also is, it expands out to the too big to fail banks and everything. This is corporatism. This is exactly what is wrong with our government. There is no accountability. There is no punishment for those responsible for making these decisions. And this is our government plays to the favoritism. I imagine that, you know, the manufacturer of the helicopter itself is immune due to this fact, because the corporations that do government work, you know, if they shake each other's hand and pat each other's back or whatever, grease each other's palms,
Now, remember, this is all speculation on our part when we're talking about the cause of the crash, though, correct? We don't know what happened.
We're always told, like you said, pilot error, and there's no investigation any further. Look at all the, the people, our government kills. Look at for example, all the way down to, like, even when there's a wrongful death with the police. You know, the police officer is never held accountable.
Right, but back to, let's just stick to this crash incident right here. Do you believe that the government will conduct a thorough, proper investigation?
No, it's like human resources. You think that's where you go for your rights, when it in fact is where they want you to go, so they can assess the risk to the corporation. And that's what it is. You know, they just, how do we get this to go away? How do we get rid of this person? you know, let's start a, you know, they'll start smearing the person in public that attacks them.
Well, you're shaking your head, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. I'm doing it the other way with I'm going the other way with the Ron Paul Jim here at 580 KIDO, but you're shaking your head in agreement.
I think he's totally right. The NTSB is one of the greatest investigation agencies in the world. In fact, when there's air crashes that occur all throughout the world, it's the NTSB that is approached for assistance, but not in the case of military crashes. The military investigates itself, and they have an economic interest, if you will, to protect its turf with respect to the budgets that's used to allocate it for this machinery, this equipment.
Let me expand on that one thing. You know, the police investigate themselves, and the corporations are appointed to the positions of power in government that are supposed to police them.
Well, right, but aren't we jumping the gun here? Ron Paul Jim, thank you for the call.
He made one statement, though, that isn't correct. If Boise City Police are involved in a crash, it's not the Boise City Police that will investigate itself. That's farmed out to other agencies like the Idaho State Police or another companion agency outside the county. The interesting situation here is that the military investigates itself. And then we're to believe, if you will, without any cross-examination, whatever the findings may be, which, oddly enough, maybe it's not so odd that in more times than not, you end up with a blame for the pilots that sacrifice their lives in obeying orders and doing these training missions. It's a very sad ordeal, particularly in the fact that we want to give honor to these men who are serving us and protecting our freedom. But I think we do great disservice to them in the end by not fully investigating these people and allowing agencies that do not have a conflict of interest from being able to come forward and investigate the crash.
You're saying the military has a conflict of interest.
Well, it does. It has a blatant conflict of interest. They are lobbying Congress for billions of dollars for weapons of mass destruction. They're lobbying Congress for billions of dollars for these weapon systems. And the last thing that they want is to be able to go to Congress to say that their weapon systems are inferior or malfunctioning. There's a breakdown there.
More coming up next with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Your thoughts, 580-5436. In addition to that, same-sex marriage versus states' rights. Why the Supreme Court won't duck this one and what it means to Idaho.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Night. 580 KIDO, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. Coming up, states' rights versus same-sex marriage. Finally, somebody got it right. Go to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com with the Fun Bunch. Good morning, Tom Munns.
Hey, Kevin. You know, I wanted to start off by saying I actually like Alan L. Morton in the morning. He brings a good perspective. I don't think that he's always, you know, the accuracy issue might be lacking a bit, but I think in a lot of things. But he does agree with us with a lot of things, and I'll take that. I think he brings a great perspective. I think that he's good for the radio because we can actually learn what's going on as long as...
Now, wait a minute. You keep talking about that. He's going to start billing me.
Well, as long as he can... You know, as far as... Let me
that was
talk
a joke,
about
Tom.
That for a second.
I'm going to bill this Tom.
When I heard that, I was very frustrated because here you have people sitting back at 6 o'clock in the morning. They have a phone. They can call in. They can call 580-5436, and they can get on with the Kevin Miller Show in the morning. But what do they do? Now they're going to sit there and they're going to lambast Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, or they're going to lambast me or somebody else that gets on the radio. All they have to do is pick up the phone. And if these so-called patriots can't even pick up the phone and call on the radio, then they're better off not even complaining about it.
So, Tom, what can we do for you?
Well, I don't know. You went to, let's see. I wanted to say that at first. Then you were going into gay marriage and states' rights. And then you were talking about something else with the military and everything else. I happen to agree with Ron Paul Tierney and Alan L. Morton, in the fact that this corporatist element has really, and the efforts to undermine our military. I mean, we have a current president that has admitted to reducing our military. They've, from what I understand from many stories, a lot of our equipment is being sent overseas or having substandard parts or foreign labor. Let me ask you something. If we have the communist Chinese or some other form of totalitarianism just working on our equipment, wouldn't that be a little bit strange, because maybe there might be a possibility that they might be putting substandard parts in on purpose?
That's the problem with the F-35A, and it's particularly to the parts from China, number one. And number two, the president said today he wants China to win.
Well, this whole thing about him, China, you guys better watch this closely, because it's been what I've been talking about on the radio. He's trying to be able to get the Trade Promotion Authority to start the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership to be able to realign us not only with the 13 Pacific Rim nations, but with Europe. So after 235 years, here's something for you military people. After 235 years of blood and sacrifice, you know what's going to happen? If Obama gets his way to pass the TTIP, we're going to not only link ourselves back with England, we're going to link ourselves with 28 member states.
Well, it's a global world, Tom. Thank you for the call. All right, let's get to it. Finally, a district court has said enough of the shenanigans. No to same-sex marriage. States have rights. The Supreme Court can't duck this one. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
Well, you're absolutely right. Until Thursday's ruling came down from the U.S. Supreme Court and the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, 32 states have basically rendered rulings that allow for gays and lesbians to marry. That number soon to increase to 35. But last Thursday, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals entered a ruling that basically held that the ban on gay marriage was constitutional, and that was affecting states of Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And so what's going to happen now is the U.S. Supreme Court, albeit just a month ago, had made the determination we're not going to get involved in and allow
the Ninth Circuit
to stay, is now going to have to decide this issue once and for all. They can't duck it.
The fix was in.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It really is not a decision of nine in this case. It's a decision of one. We know where four on the left are going to rule on this issue. We know four on the right are going to decide this issue. But it really is going to boil down to what Chief Justice Roberts is going to hold in this case, just as it was the case involving...
So you're saying the swing vote isn't Kennedy?
It's not in this case. I think Kennedy's already committed to where his position is.
He's committed to the gays.
It's going to be, in this particular case, it's going to be John Roberts' decision. And I've heard from friends of mine in the Beltway, where I used to work, they've told me that was Chief Justice Roberts that basically kept this decision from being decided a month ago, that the conservatives wanted a shot at this. And it was Roberts who said, no, we're just going to let it continue until there is a conflict between the federal circuits, and then we'll hold it at that time. Lo and behold, it took a month later, and here we are.
Let's go to Tea Party Bob, Gem State Patriot at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Bob.
Just a couple of quick questions. Well, first of all, we've seen the change in the Sixth Circuit Court. We're looking at a challenge in the Supreme Court on the tax issue of whether we can subsidize Obamacare. Do you think that having the Republicans in power now may have some sway as far as the courts go, who have been so liberal for such a long time? Do you think this may start to turn them any other direction?
Not until there's another justice appointed. That's the problem, is that in this particular system of jurisprudence, these people are appointed justices for life. The only way to remove a justice is vis-a-vis impeachment. And so one person may be perceived to be liberal, comes to the court, turns to the center. Some come in thinking they're conservative or even arch-conservative. And look at what happened with John Roberts, the sole voice, essentially.
The modern-day David Souter.
Right. He says that Obamacare was constitutional on tax provisions. They really don't get involved in public opinion. The court has never attacked issues along those lines in the last 20 years. They're kind of a voice to themselves. But that's the big argument, is who is entitled to make law. Is it just the legislature, or we have the powers of executive orders by the executive branch, and then you have the judiciary rendering rulings on cases that have no governing statutory authority. So it's all three branches have a shot at making law in that regard.
All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call. All right. How's this going to play out?
Boy, that's an interesting question, and I've given that a lot of thought this weekend, and I'm kind of stymied. It's hard to predict with any reasonable degree of certainty what Justice Roberts is going to do, particularly on the issue of Obamacare. He was the one who came out and wrote the opinion for the majority that Obamacare was constitutional on tax provisions, but it's the tax provisions in this particular issue that's going to be brought before the court on the issue of subsidies. Does the federal government have the authority under the statute to be able to render subsidies to individuals and or penalize employers for individuals that are purchasing?
You're speaking over my head.
Well, bottom line is
what's going to happen?
It's a very tough legal issue.
It comes down to states' rights versus special rights.
It comes down to states' rights versus the federal government's rights under the Supremacy Clause. And usually when you frame the issue that way...
So much for constitutional amendments.
The feds always dominate over states' rights.
Not when they're taking on Bujak.
Not when they're taking on Bujak?
He's the only one that's beat the feds. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, thank you.
Time
has flown.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Hey, good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning here, along with Dave Burnett. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So here we are, another day, the Veterans Day. Any thoughts that you'd like to share with us this morning?
You know, I always think, it's funny, several people I think of, well, not funny, but I always think of my two brothers who both served. I was a post-Vietnam, you know, draft baby era, was not eligible for the draft, did not serve. But I think of my two brothers who did serve during the Vietnam War, older brothers. I think of my father, my father-in-law, and somebody else I always think of, and that was the first soldier killed in the first Iraqi conflict. And that was Major Gregory Stone of Boise, the first one killed in that initial, I guess, when they staged in Kuwait, hand grenade thrown into a tent by a Muslim soldier, and buried now at the Veterans Cemetery. For some reason, I always think of him. I think of his family and what he gave during that first Gulf conflict. Those are, you know, some of the people that come to mind, and I know it's kind of strange, but I always think back to that I remember the shock here in the Treasure Valley area when Major Stone died after that attack by a fellow soldier.
Yeah, you take a look at that and just the service and sacrifice of all those folks. Of course, Veterans Day today is the day we honor the folks that have come back, that have taken up the cause. And we always talk about thanking the troops, but do we really thank the troops? Do we ever really show them we care? Sure, we have ads on the radio, we have ads on television, but do our actions ever mirror their sacrifice?
I don't think it can. I don't think you can. Can you? I mean, by words, I mean, you can show your appreciation, but can you really pay back to them what they have given? I don't think you can.
Well, like I said, we've got a lot of, you know, and I suppose I shouldn't try and minimize people's way of looking at it, but just I guess something is better than nothing, but you take a look at, obviously, people concerned about veterans' care, veterans' health, and I think it's easy for a lot of us to sit back and, you know, building on your point, hey, we support the troops, you're great, or all this, oh, whoops, let me go catch the Saturday ball game or whatever. And without people getting up at 0 dark 30, without,
young men and women going to Fort Knox, Kentucky, or San Antonio, or San Diego, or Fort Bliss, or any of these other places where generation after generation of American now service personnel have gone away from their warm beds, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have today.
Yep, that is absolutely true. And but as you back to your point, can we really show our appreciation? You can show your appreciation. You can't give back what they have sacrificed, and it's a willing sacrifice. You know, it's something that they willingly said, "Yeah, I will go serve." But that's something we can't pay back. I guess, and when it comes back to, I support the troops, and I used to, there was a gal in the building here that I used to get in arguments all the time. She used to say, well, I support the troops, but I don't support the cause. This was back during the Iraq War. And I said, then you don't support the troops. You just feel sorry for them. And there's a difference between supporting them and feeling sorry for them.
Well, true. And speaking of the troops, we have our friend Hotel Ryan with us, who has signed up, and he's going to be leaving us very soon. And I thought we would get his perspective, considering, Dave, as you know, you've worked with Ryan for many, many years. He's a nice young man. And, again, going in the footsteps of all those that have gone before us, who is getting ready to serve. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Ryan.
So your thoughts on when you see these veterans and why you're signing up?
I think maybe this is my way of giving back to them is, you know, they have gone and served, and you guys are both kind of hitting the nail on the head there. We can't give back what they have, but we can do all we can to, you know, serve them. And this is going to be my way of showing my appreciation to those generations and doing my part also in serving.
Now, what was it like for you? I don't know, Dave, have you seen that USAA ad?
Which one is that?
It's about the oath, and if you haven't, I blogged about it yesterday at 580kido.com. It talks about the oath, and everybody who joins the military at a very young age, or Ryan, for you, not so young.
Thank you.
You take an oath, and in it it is explained that the Bill of Rights is no longer applicable to you. You have sworn an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and it brought me back to, as a 17-year-old, as a little kid, still a punk little kid.
Quite a while ago.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Ouch.
Almost 30 years ago, coming up in February, that I took that oath. And I wondered what you thought of it.
Of the oath when I took it?
Yeah, it's a little early. I understand that. Yes. But yes.
You're
going to be used to a lot of early morning hours, buddy.
Right. Well, I'm trying to think back to that was February that I swore it in, and seems like it was forever ago now, but it was kind of interesting because I didn't have any family there to watch me swear in. It was just a very personal thing for me, and
very
I just
solemn, yeah.
did it for myself, and just stood there and faced the commander and put my hand up. And
Dave, what this oath is in this ad in USAA, it moves me to tears. And granted, I just did 6 years in the reserves, but it takes you back. It shows young people. You know, I state your name, and then it shows people on active duty, in war zones, out of war zones, doing regular things, extraordinary things that are regular to folks in the military. It's very moving.
I will have to go check that out at 580kido.com.
Yeah, it just really is amazing, which brings me back to you, young Ryan. Your thoughts again, you've talked a little bit about Veterans Day. What do you hope to accomplish as a member of the armed services?
I actually, I think I have finally made my decision that the long term will be to put in a full 20 and just to grow and progress as much as I can. And, you know, my immediate service is going to be to the local and the state level, but nationally and even globally, I'd like to, you know, go abroad and help people out wherever there's a need and try to do the same, you know, back here in Boise.
So you want to commit the full 20?
I think so.
Wow.
Why not?
That's a huge commitment. That is a huge commitment. That is admirable.
You start out where you are right now, and you'll end up my age.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm saying the 20 now. We'll see when I get back.
Yes, easier said than done. So we've got that going on. Obviously, some other news of the day. here at 580KIDO, another great ceremony at the State Veterans Home, honoring all those who served this year, honoring the Vietnam veteran. And you'll see coming up at 580KIDO.com the insignia, the United States of America Vietnam War's commemoration, commemorative partner. Certainly a lot of people locally getting the Spirit of Freedom Service Award. And it's a very emotional day. You're going to have Congressman Labrador here. You're going to have General Saylor here. And, you know, Dave Burnett, as we saw, I know you watch the news as much as I do. Very emotional day at CUNA High School yesterday.
It was, as they had paid tribute to the two fallen soldiers south of the city in that Apache helicopter crash. One of the sons, who is a member of the ROTC, talking about continuing his family's tradition in the military, that he has every intention of continuing that tradition in honor of his father. It was. I mean, it's not often that as you watch a news story, you get choked up, but that one kind of choked me up, as he was just stoic. The young man was just stoic in the video.
Yeah, I was marveling at how he kept it all together and was very just straightforward. And, you know, that's great that the word stoic does apply there. And, of course, the investigation continues. So you have the folks from Fort Rucker, Alabama. All the debris now should be moved to a hangar at Gowan Field. They'll take a look at it, put it in different categories, try and figure out what happened. Funeral services tomorrow at Eagle Christian Church, then internment at the Idaho State Veterans Cemetery, and then on Friday, we don't have the funeral announcements for the other brave serviceman, brave pilot, but he will be interned at the Idaho State Veterans Cemetery as well.
Yeah, they have not set a date as of yet, but I'm sure it'll be soon.
So we have that going on here. Also, in addition to that, from solemn to kind of silly, we have on the Drudge Report, we have a Google robot. Have you seen this thing?
The Google robot?
It is crazy. They've got it balancing on three cement blocks, actually doing human-like movements. Now they're saying in 25 years, the robots will be taking over. They'll be doing, their thinking will be better than ours.
Wow.
Probably better than most broadcasters right now.
Terminator movie. That's the Terminator.
Yeah, well, the Skynet is coming, and you know what? Google's leading the way.
That's kind of scary.
Well, yeah, if you take a look at this robot, it's moving and doing all sorts of crazy things. And they've taught robots to program themselves and everything else.
See, that's where the whole thing comes.
So what's to say that these things couldn't happen?
I was just looking at Dawn of the Google Machines.
Yeah, that's a scary-looking robot there.
Wow.
Danger Will Robinson. We joke about this, but we'll see how that plays out. Now, do you believe in the power of Facebook?
What power would that be?
The power to accurately determine, you know, the moods and feelings of people.
No.
Okay.
Just in that, you know, as you look at Facebook, you're jealous of everyone that seems to be. Everyone seems to be taking a cruise. Everyone seems to be on a trip. Everyone seems to be on the coast. Everyone seems to be out dining and having a great time with their friends. Everyone seems to be, you know, playing in the park with their dog. Nobody seems to be, ooh, another day at work.
I see.
I'm just saying, you know, it gives you the impression that everybody else, except you, loser, is having a great time.
I see.
How was I? You asked, I told you.
Right. Well, I the point I was trying to make at 580kido.com is Facebook did a survey along with the New York Times about the tenacity of college football fans. And it's based on people going to Facebook talking about their favorite college football team. And they did it by county, they did it by state, and I'm wondering, where is the most rabid fan base, Dave Burnett?
I'm sure it's in the South.
Yes. You're close.
I'm close?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Southeast?
It would be the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the most rabid fan base. And then they decided to determine, well, is it based on that those two teams there have had a good run, or was it historical? So they took a look at Oregon, and they saw that Oregon has, I guess, increased their Facebook uses concerning Oregon football in the last 10 years since the Ducks have, you know, been in the top 10 and that sort of thing. And then they wondered whether or not that would be applicable to a place like Idaho, and if the model holds true. And they found, actually, that there were more folks, in spite of the success of Boise State, in Wyoming, that are passionate, according to Facebook usage, than people here in Idaho. And I wanted to get your reaction to that.
I mean, my reaction, it's Facebook. You know, you're going to have, it's interesting, in the internet, there are some areas, and we know within our own company, that some of the stations in Wyoming, in parts of Montana where it's rural, there's fewer people, but they get more internet usage, and in part because there's less services available to them as far as newspaper, TV, radio, and so they turn to the internet for it. So, you know, you see more usage among some of those. I'm thinking of Casper, Wyoming in particular, that when it comes to sports and high school sports, they get thousands of hits, and it's like, holy cow, there's more hits there than there is people in Casper. How is that happening?
Right, but so you don't think that that holds true, the New York Times Facebook survey?
No.
I believe that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it when the Broncos were running high. You saw the flags everywhere. I see more Ducks now, including me, the bandwagon jumper on, than I see Bronco folks.
Well, it's kind of like in the NFL. Everyone was a Seahawk fan, but where are they now?
Yeah, I just, you know, because everybody always says sports, 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 and I just truly wonder how big sports truly are. Not every place is the Southeast, and I think people make a mistake by saying, well, it works in such and such. And then they talked about in the Northeastern states that football is not good with the exception of college football is not really well followed with the exception of the state of Connecticut. And then if you have a football a pro team, that impacts it as well, which I was a part of a survey about 20 years ago, and they were it kind of reaffirmed that statistic.
Yeah, I think that is probably very accurate. If you're in Seattle, if you're a Husky fan, Huskies aren't the first thing. You know, it's the Seahawks.
Right, and then you take a look at in Georgia, you've got the Bulldogs, Tech, and the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was fascinating taking a look at something that most of us appear to be so emotional and so viral, if you will.
Well, I think a lot of people try to lose themselves in sports. It is our mental escape. We escape the pressures of the real world by going to sports. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County. We're looking good. No.
KIDO, Coleman Holmes, and Kevin Miller salute those that have and are currently serving our country. Now from the Boise Veterans Hospital, here's Kevin Miller.
558, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to traffic now with Dave Burnett. 558, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll give you some reports on the severe weather that is underscoring the nation. I kind of like when I'm watching the local newscast, they're going, oh, it's going to get cold. It's November, it's Idaho, people. We can't have 80 degrees every day, can we? I mean, people have to ski eventually, right? Can we ever kind of win? I mean, if you're a skier, you're going, let it snow, let it snow. All right, coming up more from the Idaho State Veterans Home, Kevin Miller in the morning, saluting our veterans. Thank you. Good morning.